Good morning, everyone. We'll start with our Talmud Torah sponsors, which are Benjamin and Ellis Wall. And you don't hear me. Okay. So we'd like to do you hear me now? How's that? Is that better? So we are, okay, so we just want to thank here. You look in the bulletin to get the precise details, but Benjamin and Ellis Wall, they want to express their gratitude. We're starting a new chapter, is that correct? We are starting a new chapter. Now, when it comes to get, there's a key concept known as krisus. In other words, something severed, it's the relationship comes to an end with the divorce, and therefore the bill of divorce, the get, has to achieve that krisus, that complete detachment between the two parties. There are circumstances where if within the get there is something that keeps them together, okay, that the relationship is not completely severed, there could be an issue. So we're going to keep that in mind as we start this new chapter. And what you have to keep in mind is the difference between chutz and almenat. Chutz almenas. What do I mean by that? There are circumstances where we can make a transaction, but there is something that I keep out of the transaction, okay? In other words, I am selling you my property, but I'm leaving out of the sale my garage. So I'm keeping the garage to myself, okay? So the garage is simply not included in the sale. And then there is a concept of almenat, which is in rabbinic literature, a tnai, where you stipulate, right? I'm selling you my house. Everything is yours, including the garage. However, we are stipulating that you give me the right to use your garage. So the garage is really yours. You just give me the right to do. So when it comes to a chutz, scenario number one, the house that is being sold to you, it's not a complete sale of the whole property. I'm leaving something back. In scenario number two, it's a complete sale. We're just stipulating. So keep that in mind. The difference between chutz and almenah. So let's start with our Mishnah. Hamegaresh es ishto. Okay, this is what the whole Masechta is about. Megaresh es ishto, divorces his wife. Ve'omar lo. And he says to her the following. Hare at muteres lechol odom. Okay, he expresses this verbally. It's actually in the document in itself. Hare at, you are muteret. It is permissible for you to marry kol odom. Elo leploni. Now, the Mishnah here is not completely clear. What exactly is this elo leploni? There are two ways to understand it. Right? It could be that he's telling her that this is a divorce, right? You can marry everyone, but regarding so-and-so, I'm not divorcing you. In other words, regarding so-and-so, you have no right to marry that individual. So there's obviously something quite problematic with this detachment, because the husband, in essence, is leaving some sort of connection to her because he's not allowing her to marry that so-and-so. So that's perhaps one way to understanding, or perhaps it's really stipulating. You are completely divorced. But just as a husband can stipulate, right, during the divorce, that hareat megureshes, you are divorced if you give me 200 zuz. We have that case, right? So perhaps here what the Mishnah is saying is that he is stipulating, yes, I am divorcing you. However, if you decide to marry so-and-so, so then the divorce is not going to take effect. So that's going to be a tznai. Not clear what the Mishnah is talking about with the word ella. But let's see the dispute, and then obviously we'll let the Gemara try to clarify it. Again, hamigaresh es ishto v'omar le harei at muteres lechol odom. It is permissible for you to marry anyone. Ella leploni, but not so-and-so. Is it a divorce? Rabbi Eliezer matir. Rabbi Eliezer says, it works. Not a problem. The Chachomim Osrim. They say it simply doesn't work. This not is not considered a valid get. Okay? Now, can you fix it? Can you fix it? Now, if something was said, it appears that you're going to have the tools to fix it. Just go through the procedure again. And quite often, when a Beis Din gives a bill of divorce, if the head of the Beis Din is not comfortable with the way the husband uttered something, they would ask the woman to return the get and go through it again. These things do happen. So, Ketzad Yase, how do you fix it according to the Chachomim, where something orally was said, but it created a problem? Yitlena hemena, like, let the husband take the bill of divorce back from the wife. V'yachzor v'yitznena lo. And what does he do? He gives it to her again. And then he says it the right way. The yomar lo, and he should say to her, hare at muteres lechol odom. It is permissible for you to marry anyone. That is when there is a krisis. That is when the relationship is severed. It comes to a complete end. And then it's a valid bill of divorce. Now, you could fix it. You could fix it if these words were uttered. But what if within the document itself, it is recorded that he allows her to marry anyone but so-and-so? So here we have a problem. Because even if you're going to erase that line, the rest of the bill of divorce was written with that stipulation in mind, and it damages, in essence, the whole document. And therefore, the Mishnah ends off by telling us that kasvo betocho, if this statement was recorded in the document itself, afalpi shechazar mechako, even if afterwards you erase it, pasul, no good. You can't fix it. You could fix it if it's an oral statement. You're not going to be able to fix it if it was recorded in the document. Okay? That's what we have in the Mishnah. But the first thing we want to clarify is the statement of chutz, right? Megaresh es ishto, and he tells her, harei at muteres lechol odom, right? Ella. The ella is unclear. Was it a chutz? Was it not a chutz? What is the ella? Iboilu, wonders the Gemara. This is something that they wondered. The scholars wondered. The Chachomim wondered. Hai ella. This word ella that appears in the Mishnah. What does that mean? Chutzu, is it that he simply is not divorcing the woman regarding so-and-so? And suddenly here we have a tremendous chiddush, because it comes out that according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's a valid divorce, even though regarding one person, she's not divorced. Or perhaps it's something more traditional, something that we are familiar with, O almenas hu, right? Perhaps it's only a stipulation, and that would be less of a chiddush, right? Because we find throughout this tractate that the husband, when he gives a bill of divorce, he could stipulate all kind of different things. You shouldn't go to your dad's house. You shouldn't go to my father's house. You should do so and so. You should give this amount of money. So perhaps it's just a tznai, and then we could have a better understanding of Rabbi Eliezer, why he gives a green light for such a bill of divorce. But then we're going to have to clarify, why do the rabbis say, why do the Chachomim say that although in other scenarios we do accept a tznai, in this case not. There's two ways to understand it. So let's let the Gemara is going to break it down here, okay? Is it chutz? Perhaps the way to understand our Mishnah is talking about chutz. He's divorcing her, but not regarding so and so. Ubechutz hu depligi rabbonon alei de Rab Lezer. And if so, when do the rabbis not agree with Rabbi Eliezer? When do the rabbis state that this is not considered a valid bill of divorce? That is because he used the word chutz, dehashir lo beget. Because the reality is that within this transaction known as a get, and the essence of this document is to detach the two completely, if he leaves, right, if he states to her that regarding so-and-so you're not divorced, so there's a flaw in the process of the get itself, and that's the reason the rabbis say it's not valid. But on the other hand, if we take that approach, the rabbis would agree, aval be'almenas, if he stipulated in the traditional way, if the husband says, you're divorced, regarding everyone. However, I'm stipulating that this is a valid document and this is a valid transaction if you do not marry so-and-so. Perhaps there, module, the rabbis would agree that that would be considered valid because it is no different than any other tznai, than any other stipulation. Midi dehave, just as it is, akol tznai de alma, like any other tznai. Okay, so that's one way to understand the Mishnah. Chutz, odilmor, perhaps, our Mishnah is talking about the traditional tznai, almenas, who perhaps the Ella of the Mishnah is a regular stipulation. And now the dispute between the two is ube almenasu de pligi, that when does Rabbi Eliezer say that it's a valid bill of divorce when it's a traditional stipulation, right? Ube almenasu de pligi Rabbi Eliezer ad rabbonon. That is where Rabbi Eliezer disagrees with the rabbi. But on the other hand, if it would have been a chutz, where there's a significant flaw here in the process of the get, aval bechutz, mode, Rabbi Eliezer agrees with the rabbis that this is not considered a valid get, the hashir lo beget, because you're leaving something over. It's not a complete get. Okay? So how do we understand? We're analyzing specifically the Ella of the Mishnah. So what's the Gemara going to do? It's going to move on, or it's going to bring a different discussion where the word Ella appears. And there, the Ella is clearly not going to be an almenas, but rather a chutz. And that's going to clarify that our Mishnah is talking about chutz. So let's go through it. Tashma, come and learn. We are familiar with negoim, right? When it's on the skin, perhaps it's translated as leprosy, but do we have the tradition that it's not the traditional leprosy, but rather some kind of skin ailment that's a manifestation of a spiritual flaw? So if you remember Parshas Tazria Mitzora, you could have a tzaras on skin, it could be on garments, it could be on houses as well, okay? And even though it's perhaps a devastating section to read about, where a person has to seclude himself from the community, you have to go ahead and destroy and demolish a house, not an easy section to read, but reality is we see it as some kind of gift that the Almighty is communicating that we need to improve. And therefore, in later generations, when we were not on that level, we no longer have it because, unfortunately, God does not communicate it with us in such a way anymore. Due to the fact that these nigei batim, that these blemishes that appear on houses, is considered or signifies a relationship we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we are told here in the Braisa, kol habotim mitamin benegoim, all houses could technically get negoim, Ella, shel ovdei kochavim, Ella, but those of ovdei kochavim. Now let's look at that word Ella. How do we read it? And remember, we're not sure if Ella means chutzu armenas. And it's going to be quite clear here that the Ella here cannot be almenas. It can't be a stipulation. It can't be stipulating that a Jewish home could get negaim if a non-Jewish home gets negaim. It makes no sense. But rather, it is quite clear that the Ella, in the context of the nigei batim, is a chutz. Okay? Tashma kol habatim etami benegaim. Ella shalov de kochavim. So the Gemara is going to make it quite clear. E omart bishlama, if you say chutz hu, if you say that the Ella is a chutz, right? Everything works very, very well. Shapir, everything works well. But if you try to claim that Ella is an almenas, doesn't work here. Ella e omart almenasu. So let's try to read this brisa, that when does the Jewish home get negaim if the non-Jewish home? Almenas de lo mitamo bate of the kochavim. Are you telling me that there's a stipulation that the Jewish home could get negaim if, right, the non-Jewish home will, of the pagans do? Who do mitamo bate Israel? Right? Indicating hamitamu batei of the kochavim, to say that, but if on the other hand they do get tome, lo mitamu batei Yisrael, it makes absolutely no sense. Right? You simply can't read this brisa as an almanas, because an almanas would be telling you, right, that the stipulation is that the Jewish home could get negaim, that if the Jewish homes do not, indicating that if the Jewish home do, the Jewish homes do not. It simply doesn't work. The ode, and the truth is, right, fact is, bote of the kochavim imitame. Does a non-Jewish home have that privilege of having that sign of the connection that we have to Kodesh Baruch Hu? Not so. Vahatanya, listen to this brisa. The brisa analyzing the word venosati nega tzaras bebeis eres achuzas. The Almighty said that I will place this tzaras, right, on your houses that you inherit. Eretz achuzaschem, the lands that you take hold of. Eretz Yisrael mitame b'negoim. Ve'en bote of de kochovim, a non-Jewish home, even if it happens to be in the land of Israel, they are not mitame b'negoim. So there's no question that the word Ella is a chutz. Ella shma mina chutzu. So back to our Mishnah, where there's a dispute between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachomim, HaMegarish es Ishto, he divorces the wife. Ve'omar lo, he says, Hareyat muteres l'chol odom, you can marry anyone you want, Ella leploni, you know what it means? Chutz leploni. So it comes out that Rabbi Eliezer, according to what we are saying now, believes that you could have a valid bill of divorce, even though the essence of the divorce is a krisis, is a complete detachment from the two parties. Nevertheless, he could stipulate that the divorce does not apply regarding that so-and-so, that specific individual. Ela shma mina chutzu shma mina. Okay, now, although we are quite confident that our Mishnah, right, is placing the dispute between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim in a situation of chutz, there was a different school, and that appears in the Braisa, and there's a Braisa that believes that their dispute is not regarding chutz. There, Rabbi Eliezer would not claim that it's a valid bill of divorce, but rather the Braisa had the tradition that their dispute is regarding almenas. And this is something you have to keep in mind, that even as we continue into tomorrow's daf, we're going to have to keep in mind that the dispute between Rabbi Eliezer, who gives a green light with this incomplete divorce, is it a scenario of a chutz or an almenas? Let's keep it in mind. But let's read this brisa here. Masnisin, our Mishnah, deloki haitan. Our Mishnah is not like the following brisa. Detanya, what does the brisa say? Omar Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda had a tradition that you should know. Lo nechleku Rabbi Eliezer v'chachomim. There is no dispute between Rabbi Eliezer and Chachomim. Al hamegaresh es ishto. In a case where someone divorces his wife, Ve'omar lo, and he says to her, Hareyat muteres lechol odom, you can marry anyone you want. Chutz meploni, but when it comes to so-and-so, you're not divorced. In that case, everyone agrees, even Rabbi Eliezer agrees, she'eino megureshes, she is not divorced. Alma nechleku, when is there a disagreement? Al megareshes ishto, when he divorces her. Ve'omar lo hareyat muteres lechol odom, you can marry anyone you want, but I am stipulating, al menas shelo tinasi leploni, that the dispute is in a more traditional case and scenario that's presented throughout this masechta. And in that case, we find Sherabi Eliezer Matir, because Lechol Odom Chutz Mosa Ish, that Rabbi Eliezer gives the green light, because it's a stipulation. The Chachomim Omrim, and the rabbis say, no Chachomim Osrim, what do the rabbis say? That doesn't work. Now, what we're going to have to understand here is the rabbis do agree that you could stipulate within a bill of divorce. Why a stipulation that relates to prohibiting her to marry a specific person, why does that create more of a problem? So, obviously, the Gemara is going to break down the reason for Rabbi Eliezer's understanding and for the Chachomim. Now, my Taima de Rabbi Eliezer. Let's start with Rabbi Eliezer, right? According to this reading, that their dispute is in a situation where there was a regular tznai. So Rabbi Eliezer would tell you, midi dehave, this is just like akol tznai de alma. This is no different than any other tznai. No different, okay? Now, what do the rabbis say? Verabonon, there's a different. There is a difference, because kol tnai d'alma, when it comes to other stipulations of the world, meaning other stipulations that we find throughout this masechta, that is because the core of the get, what's the essence of the get? Detaching the two parties. So if he stipulates that I am divorcing you, you're going to give me 200 zuz. Okay, so the stipulation does not relate to the essence of this transaction. So therefore, the rabbis say, the reason here it is more sensitive, and the reason here it could disqualify and cancel, violate the whole document, is because when it comes to other stipulations, when it comes to a regular tznai, kol tznai da alma, lo shir le beget. Right? In the essence and the of what this document is about, nothing was left out of it, meaning she is completely detached from this husband. Here, on the other hand, ha-cha, shir lo beget. In other words, since he stipulated that you cannot marry so-and-so, so the essence of the get is hareyat muteres l'chol adam, right? That you can marry whoever you want. By stipulating that you can't marry so-and-so, it weakens this detachment, and therefore it disqualifies the whole get, according to Chachomim. Okay, now, we have some level of clarity when it comes to the dispute between Rabbi Eliezer and Chachomim, if we believe that they are disagreeing in the case of Almenas, where Rabbi Eliezer says, hey, it's a tznai, works. Chachomim say this tznai is different. But now, let's try to understand if our Mishnah is the chutz approach. In other words, that Rabbi Eliezer is actually saying that a man can divorce the wife where it becomes permissible for her to marry whoever she wants, but regarding so-and-so, the divorce is not taking effect. How does that work? Now, that is a tremendous chiddush. How does that work? That needs a source. So now it's time for the Gemara to explain how Rabbi Eliezer, or how can there be an opinion that's where Rabbi Eliezer gives his green light, okay? So the Gemara says, Umas Nisin. Let's go back to our Mishnah. De Ukimna, that we established, that is talking about chutz. So the obvious question is, my taima de Rabbi Eliezer, what's his reason? Okay, so there's going to be two approaches, and you're going to have to remember the names of who presents each approach, because in tomorrow's daf, we're going to return to it. Okay, so let's go through it. Number one is Rav Yanai shares with us, and again, Rav Yanai is here to clarify the source of Rabbi Eliezer for the big chinish, that even chutz works. So Rav Yanai shares with us, Mishum Zokain Echot, in the name of a specific elder. And he's going to look at the fall in a verse in the Torah and use it as a source. So let's go. Omar Kro. The Torah tells us, this is in the 24th chapter in Devarim, where the Torah describes how the get works. And the Torah tells us that if there is a woman married to a man, she gets divorced and she marries someone else. Okay? And the Torah uses the words, v'yotza mi beiso. Okay, she leaves the home of the first husband, obviously through a get. V'holcha, and she goes, v'hoysa lishachar, and she can marry someone else. Now, the rabbis had a tradition by the fact that this verse links her departure, right? Her departure from husband number one to her marriage to husband number two, that there's some kind of relationship between the two, and it's going to make its appearance a few times, but listen carefully to how it's used here according to Rav Yanai in the name of this Zaken to explain the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Omar Kro, the verse says, V'yotza mibeiso, she departs the house of the first husband, V'holcha v'hoysa le'ish achar, and she marries someone else. Now, Le'ish acher. How many people are mentioned with these two words, ish acher? It's not that the Torah is telling us, umuteres la lekol anashim. No, the Torah tells us that she divorces husband, that she is divorced from husband number one, and now she could marry ish acher, one person. So the way it's being read is as follows, afilu lo hitira. Even if this bill of divorce, right, which detached her from husband number one, even if this bill of divorce, lo hitira ela leish acher, allowed her to marry just one person, nevertheless, hareza migureshas. In other words, Rabbi Eliezer is telling us that our understanding that a bill of divorce works by detaching her from her first husband and allowing her to marry everyone is not the correct understanding, but it has to be that it detaches her from the first husband regarding the second husband. Okay, that she can marry the second husband. If the bill of divorce prohibits her from marrying some other man, that's not a problem. As long as she has this document and she's released regarding the ish acher, good enough. Okay, that's how Rav Yanai is sharing with us that there is a source for the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Now, what will the rabbi say, right? The Rabbonon, the rabbis don't agree with this reading. Hai le'ish, le'ish, right? So as you see here, there are several readings here. We're going to go with what the Bach says. The Rabbonon Amri, okay. And the rabbis say, Hai ish, ish lechol ish ve'ish. Okay? In other words, the best reading would be probably that what the rabbis say, no, that when the Torah gives this scenario that she departs husband number one and she marries ish acher, it means she could marry that any person that she wants to marry, she could marry. And it has to be that the bill of divorce gives her that allowance, that she can marry any ish acher. So therefore, ish lechol ish ve'ish, that she can marry whoever she wants, okay? That's the opinion. So who's reading? So again, the core is to remember, Rabbi Eliezer has a tremendous chiddush, right? It's a chutz. The divorce does not include a specific person. It works le'ish acher, good enough if it's for le'ish acher. Now, Rabbi Yochanan has a different source. Taima de Rabbi Eliezer mehocha, okay? So he says, let's look at the Parsha of Kohanim. In the Parsha of Kohanim, we are told that a Kohen is not allowed to marry a grusha, okay? The Isha grusha, he should not marry. Now, when the Torah presents this fact that the Kohen should not be marrying a divorcee, the Torah could have just written that a Kohen should not marry a grusha. So the verse could have said, the Kohen cannot marry an Isha Zona, Chalolu, the Isha Grusha. The Torah could have just said, do not marry an Isha Grusha. But when the Torah presents this fact and provides the information that the Kohen does not marry the Grusha, the Torah says the word, the Isha Grusha me Isha. Divorce from her husband. I mean, who else she divorced from, right? Of course, it's from the husband. So what is this me'isha? Why does the Torah add that word? So Rav Yochanan believes that we have a source here. Rav Yochanan amar tam Rav Lazar amar acha ve'isha grusha me'isha lo ikachu. And what he's saying is that the Torah is telling us, afilu lo nizgarsha elo me'isha, if let's say you have a woman, her husband divorces her, and he tells her, Hare at megureshes, you are divorced from me, we are detached, but you're not allowed to marry anyone else. It's a very weird type of divorce, correct? So what we are reading into the verse is that although this is not really a complete divorce, it has enough of an impact on her status that if suddenly the husband gets a heart attack and dies, right, we don't view her as an almana, but rather, since she got a bill of divorce that detached her me'isha from her husband, she has the label of a grusha, and then she can't marry a kohen. Indicating that the essence of a bill of divorce is not like what we think, that the essence of a bill of divorce is detachment from husband, permissibility to marry everyone else. No, that's not the essence of a bill of divorce. The Torah is being megala. The Torah is teaching us that the essence of a bill of divorce is detachment from husband. The fact that she has rights to marry others, that's a side detail. And based on that understanding, we could appreciate why Rabbi Eliezer believes that if you have a scenario where a husband gives her a bill of divorce and allows her to marry others, but prohibits her chutz from a specific individual, that is still considered a bill of divorce. So there's something that the Torah's megala, the Torah teaches us regarding the status of a kohen that he doesn't marry a grusha. The Torah tells us me'isha, that that's the essence of a divorce, and you can have that woman can have that label of a grusha by just the husband saying to her, "You are detached from me." So that teaches us that you could have a get even if it has a chutz. Afilu lo nizgarsha ela me'isha, even if the divorce only detached her from her husband, nifsalomina kohuna, she becomes disqualified to a kohen. Alma, what do you see from there? Havi gita, you see that you could have a get even if it does not give her an allowance to marry. So therefore, it's not so shocking that Rabbi Eliezer claims that you could have a valid bill of divorce even though a specific person was excluded. Now, the rabbis say, come on, you know, don't tell me that this law that we are deriving from the section that is addressing the Kohanim can be used to clarify the structure of the get. You can't say so, because Isur Kehuna Shani, that when it comes to the prohibitions of the Kohanim, things are simply different there. Now, wonders Rava, boy Rabbi Abba, Bekidushin Hayech. Okay, now that we've clarified that there's a dispute regarding Gerushin, let's look at a marriage, Kiddushin. Because Kiddushin is, you know, there is the flip side of it, where the husband makes a statement where now she becomes prohibited to everyone else. So now the question is, what happens in Kiddushin? And this is a question that could be asked Tiboy Rabbi Eliezer, Tiboy Rabbonu. This is a question that could be asked according to the approach of Rabbi Eliezer, and it could be asked according to the opinion of the rabbis. So here we go. Tiboy Rabbi Eliezer, you could ask this question when According to Rabbi Eliezer, ad kan lokom Rabbi Eliezer hocha could be, when does Rabbi Eliezer say that you could have a valid get, that this transaction between husband and wife could actually be valid, even if it is not all-inclusive? Maybe he only said that regarding divorce, elamishum dechsivikroi, because here there are verses that indicate specifically regarding divorce that even if it's not all-inclusive, it's considered valid. Aval hosom, but when it comes to marriage, perhaps, kinyon ma'alyo be'inan, you need a completely valid kinyan. The essence of a marriage is that she is prohibited on everyone else. And therefore, even Rabbi Eliezer agrees that if he stands under the chuppah and he says, Hare at mekudeshes li, which indicates you can't now marry anyone else, chutz and meso and so, right? Not very romantic, but if he stands under the chuppah, right? And he says, you can, right? You are mine and you are prohibited from marrying anyone else, but we are keeping so-and-so out of this limitation, right? Rabbi Eliezer perhaps would agree that there it doesn't work. Why? Only by get. We had verses that indicate that there's something unique about a get. But when it comes to Kiddushin, maybe not. Or perhaps no. Odilma v'yotza v'hoysa. That we compare marriage to divorce, as we saw in that verse in Dvarim. And therefore, since, according to Rabbi Eliezer, this idea of leaving one party out does not disqualify the bill of divorce and indicates that you could have a get, even with a chutz, perhaps it works as well with a kiddushin. And perhaps he could stand under the chuppah. And again, remember, marriage has two stages. We're not talking about stage number two. We're talking about stage number one with the kiddushin. That perhaps when it comes to the kiddushin, he could go ahead and say, right, Hare at mekudeshes li b'tabazuz, but I'm leaving so-and-so out of this prohibition, that he could still do kiddushin on you. And as we'll see soon, that perhaps the so-and-so, the Reuven, that he gave a green light that could do kiddushin, if Reuven does kiddushin, perhaps it's going to lock him out. We'll see soon. Okay? Tiboy l'Rabbonon. Now, this question could also be asked according to Rabbonon. Ad kan lokam Rabbonon hocho. Maybe the rabbis who say that it's unacceptable to have a bill of divorce with a chutz, because that's not what a divorce is about. Elo de binyan krisus. Maybe only they place that limitation regarding a get, because the essence of a get is a detachment. And therefore, if he leaves out one individual from the krisus, if the husband says during the process of the divorce, Hare at muteres l'chol adam chutz meploni, so there's a flaw in the whole essence of the document. So therefore, you need krisus v'leika. Aval hosam, perhaps when it comes to kiddushin marriage, kinyan kol dehu, any kinyan works. In other words, perhaps he could go ahead and say, Arayat mekudesh asli, and not include, right, and state that although you are prohibited to everyone else, I'm not including so-and-so. Or Dilmar, perhaps, the yotze v'hoysa. So this is a question that that Rabbi Abba wondered. After clarifying, he says, lebosar di boy lehui. After he wondered, hadar pashte, it was clear to him. Bein la Rabbi Eliezer, bein la Rabbonon, be'inon v'yotze v'hoysa. In other words, it's clear to him that the guidelines are going to be the same. So therefore, when it comes to the Rabbonon, where we follow obviously halachically, just as with a bill of divorce, right, it has to be a complete krisus, and he cannot leave an attachment of marriage regarding one specific individual, so too with the kiddushin, it has to be harayat mekudesh esli, and she is prohibited to develop a relationship with anyone else. But the result is, the chiddush is, that suddenly, when it comes to kiddushin, according to Rabbi Eliezer, we could have this very odd type of kiddushin, where he says, Hare ad mekudesh asli betabazu, right? But this prohibition does not apply to Reuven. So-and-so could go ahead and do a kiddushin. Okay, now. So comes Abaye, and he says, you know what? According to this assessment of Rabbi Eliezer's approach that it applies to Kiddushin, so it works as follows. If you remember, when we studied Yevamos some time ago, there was something called Mimer. Remember that? Mimer? And it works as follows. That you have, lo aleinu, a woman loses her husband. There are no children. There's a brother. So the brother obviously has the mitzvah of Yibum. He could do Chalitza. In a situation that there's more than one brother, let's envision a case that you have Reuven, Shimon, Levi. Reuven married to a woman. Reuven dies. Shimon and Levi, one of them have to perform this Yibum or Chalitza, okay? Shimon goes ahead and he performs what's known as a Maimar. Maimar was established by the rabbis that before he enters into a marriage with Reuven's wife, he begins the process, which is like a type of rabbinic kiddushin, okay? Now, by doing a Maimar, he is linked to her. So suddenly this woman has the status that she is linked to her former husband, Reuven, and she's now linked to Shimon because he performed a Maimer. Now, if let's say Shimon dies, what we are told is that Levi suddenly could not marry her. Why could Levi not marry her? Because she is not coming to Levi from one brother, but from two. That's what we are told. Now, what we're going to be analyzing is a scenario, now that we've introduced that you could have a chutz in a marriage. So the question is, are you going to have an issue? Can you theoretically have a problem here of a woman that is linked to two men? What do we mean by that? So let's let the Gemara do it. Omer Abaye, comes Abaye and he says like this. Im Timtzel Omer, if you want to say, Isa led Rav Abba, that Rav Abba is indeed correct, that according to Rabbi Eliezer, you could have a situation of a marriage, of a kiddushin, where one party, where individuals are left out. So imagine the following. Bar Reuven. Imagine if Reuven, right, comes to a woman and he says to her, Vekicha. And he says, Hare ad mekudesh esli. And you can marry, no, you can't perform kiddushin with anyone else. Chutz me Shimon. But he leaves out his brother, Shimon. And then comes Shimon. Uba Shimon Vekicha Chutz. Meruven, and Shimon comes and he says the same thing. You can marry whoever you want, right? Or Hareat Mekudesh Esli, Hareat Mekudesh Esli, meaning that you are my wife, and you are prohibited to everyone else. However, one person I'm leaving out from this prohibition is Reuven. And then Umeisu Shneyem, and lo aleinu, they both die. So when you hear this case, you think to yourself, hey, this is very similar to the case of Maimer. And just as by the case of Maimer, we claim that Levi, the third brother, cannot marry the woman because she's linked to two husbands, perhaps here is the same. So comes Abai and he says, no, here it's different. Misya bemes leLevi. She could actually marry Levi. Ve'ein ani koreb eshes shne mesim. She does not have that label of a woman that is the wife of two deceased individuals. Now, what's the difference between the two? My time up. The answer is, Kiddushe de Reuven ahanu. In other words, if you think about it, Reuven says to her, Hare, right, at mekudesh esli. You're not allowed to marry anyone else, but Shimon, it's okay. So Reuven had an impact with that statement because suddenly she cannot marry anyone else. On the other hand, Kiddushei de Shimon had no impact. Why? Because when Shimon says to her, Hareat Mekudesh Aslin, you can't marry anyone else, she anyway wasn't able to marry anyone else due to the Kiddushin of Reuven. So therefore, since Kiddushei de Shimon lo ahane, so therefore it is not considered like she is linked to two. She's only linked to Reuven and she can marry Levi. Now, there could be a scenario where we are using Rabbi Eliezer's approach and you would have a case of Eisha Shnei Mesim, Ve'elo. Eisha Shnei Mesim. What scenario can you find that she would have that label of the wife of two deceased brothers and thus could not marry Levi? One could that occur. Hecha Mishkachasle. You know when her
where it's possible. Kigon, the scenario would be Shabar Ruvain. Ruvain says to her like this, Vekicha, Hare, At, Mekudeshes, Li, you can't marry now anyone else. But Chutz Meshimon, I'm leaving my brother out. Ubo Shimon, but Shimon said to her, Vekicha Stam, and Shimon said, Hare, At, Mekudeshes, Li. So it comes out that Shimon's statement did have an impact, because as a result of the fact that Shimon did not leave out Reuven, so suddenly by Shimon's statement, she is not allowed to marry Reuven. So it had an impact. So since both brothers with their statement had an impact, so therefore, the kiddushe de Reuven ahanu. So now let's analyze it. Every single one of them, each one of them, had an impact. Reuven had an impact lemisra alma, because she is prohibited from marrying people on the outside. The kiddushe de Shimon ahanu, and the kiddushim of Shimon had an impact for what? To prohibit her on the kiddushe de Shimon ahanu lemisra a Reuven. So each one of them had an impact. Okay? Now, Boya Baya, Abaya wonders. By the way, what time is the, do they need this room for davening? Okay. Boya Abaya, wonders Abaya. Omar lo, okay, if let's say he says to her, Hare at muteres lechol Adam, this back to the get. Okay, and again, we're taking the school of, we're going to work with the school of Rabbi Eliezer, that he could work with a chutz, and he says to her, "You are it is permissible for you to marry anyone you want, chutz meruvein veshimon, but you can't marry Reuven and Shimon." But then he says, "V'chazar v'omar lo leruvein veshimon," and then he says, and remember, as in when he's in the process of handing it to her, he could add, he could detract, he could go ahead and make statements that have an impact. And then, as he's handing it to her, he says, "No, right, Reuven and Shimon." So the question is, what is he saying to her? Mao. Two ways to understand it. Mi Amrian, do we say Maida Osar Shara? Perhaps what he is saying is that which I prohibited in my earlier statement, that you cannot marry Reuven and Shimon, that I am allowing now. Or Dilmar, perhaps Maida Osar Shara. Perhaps what he's saying is the following, that now, no, I'm allowing you to marry Reuven and Shimon, Umaida Shara, but my first statement that you can marry whoever you want, perhaps now he's switching and he's saying, you cannot, my deshar osar. And in Tim Salomar, and if you want to say, my deosar shara, that he is actually saying that you can marry Reuven and Shimon and he is allowing that which he prohibited earlier. So what if he only mentions Reuven? Okay, so again, he hands her the bill of divorce, according to Rabbi Eliezer, and he says to her, Hare at muteres l'chol odom, you can marry whoever you want, however, not Reuven and Shimon. And then he says to her, no, you know what, you can marry Reuven. So the question is, does he mean only Reuven, or maybe he means both parties, since they were linked? L'Reuven ma'u, l'Reuven v'hu adin l'Shimon. Perhaps he means Reuven and Shimon, because after all, the two of them were linked. V'hai dekomar Reuven, why did he mention Reuven mishum de potach be? Because he's the first one that he mentioned. O dilma, perhaps l'Reuven dafkor, perhaps since he only mentioned Reuven, he only gave her a green light regarding Reuven. V'im tim selomar, and if you want to say l'Reuven dafkor, and if you want to say that since he only mentioned Reuven, only regarding Reuven, he's giving her the allowance to marry. What if he mentioned Shimon Mao? Le Shimon Vuadin Le Reuven. Perhaps when he said Shimon, he means Reuven as well. So why does he mention only Shimon? Vaide Komar Shimon Meshum de Salt Mine? Because that's the last person he mentioned. Odilmo Le Shimon Davko. Maybe Shimon specifically. By Ravashi. What if he said Af Le Shimon? So in other words, he gives her the bill of divorce. Hare at muteres choladam chus meruven v'shimon. Then he says, you know what, muteres af l'shimon. So then he said af, so obviously, right, he's saying Shimon as well. So most probably he's allowing it regarding Reuven as well. Af l'shimon mau, af Reuven kai. In other words, the also Shimon, meaning, no, I'm allowing you to marry also Shimon, indicating that Reuven as well. Odilma, the af means I'm allowing you to marry Shimon as well, but Reuven, right, the prohibition remains regarding him. Odilma af almakai, teku, these are questions that remain. Now, what you're going to have to remember for tomorrow is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer and how surprising it is, because we always have an understanding that the essence of a get is a complete detachment. Rabbi Eliezer is giving an allowance, in essence, right, for the husband to retain some kind of connection. Remember the fact that there's a difference between chutz and almenas, and there are two schools as to how we understand the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Please remember as well that there were two sources or two different schools to understand where Rabbi Eliezer got it. One of them learns it from a verse regarding Gittin, and one of them, right, Rabbi Yochanan, learns it from Kahuna, which is something to keep into consideration. Everyone have a very good day. Yishkeh.